Hello! Day 36, marooned at MacBytes headquarters. We're heading into week 6. How are you, Mike?
Fine.
I think he's got used to working from home now. I think it's the new norm. Is that right?
I'm full.
You're full?
I'm full.
I must admit, that salad was rather filling.
Did I make too much?
Possibly. Maybe it was the starter.
It was probably the starter.
Which was absolutely delicious.
Good.
Garlic mushrooms. Ooh, spoiled rotten. Spoiled rotten. So, how is everybody? Hello, Mike. Hello, Kim. Hello, Jonathan.
No pictures, Jonathan. But I'll tell you what was in there. There was lettuce. There was tomatoes. There was mushrooms. There were spring onions. There was radishes. There was chicken. Well, you had chicken, I had cheese.
Sun-dried tomatoes,
olives.
Spring onions.
I've said spring onions. It's not the generation game.
Salad onions. You can't remember.
Avocado.
Oh, the avocado was nice. We should get some pictures of those. We'll have to order some more next time. We bought some wonky avocados. You're wondering, aren't
they
you?
They weren't wonky.
That's what they call them.
I know.
Oh, Kim, 50 days. Amazing. Hello, Tracy. Wonky avocados are like wonky other things.
Oh, Johnny's having avocado. What are you having with it?
Let me explain wonky fruit. It's what Morrison's, over in the UK, when we joined the EU, they insisted bananas were a certain size and shape. So a lot of fruit and vegetables was being rejected. And obviously, people have become more used to, I mean, in my day, vegetables were all kinds of shapes. But we're told people wanted uniformity of vegetables and fruit. So anything that doesn't pass muster, Morrison's buy, and they package it up and call it wonky. Wonky fruit and veg. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. So given the price of avocados, I thought to myself, let's try some of these wonky avocados. There was absolutely nothing wrong with them. You couldn't tell the difference between that and the normal avocados, which were, no joke, 4 times the price. So you can get wonky fruit and veg from Morrison's. And the only thing is, occasionally, it's an odd size or shape. But it's fabulous.
Me and Johnny are discussing mushrooms.
Oh, I love raw mushrooms. I nip to the fridge and, like normal people, eat sweets and stuff out of it. No, I will have a raw mushroom. Give it a try. This wonky veg was absolutely fine, Jonathan. I was expecting something quite deformed. But when it arrived, I put it next to the other ones and thought, OK, that's us buying wonky fruit and veg in the future.
It's like somebody, it's either Tesco or Asda, do some kind of, they don't call it wonky, I don't think. Maybe it is. But basically, it's the seconds of strawberries and they're fine.
I know. Nothing wrong with them. My father used to work for a fruit and veg company, and they actually grew their own. And, you know, they didn't distinguish between one that wasn't quite the right shape. This is the EU for you. This is why Britain voted Brexit. They didn't like the banana rules.
I agree with you, Kim. I couldn't care less about the shape of my veggies.
No, I really, I mean, sometimes with potatoes in my father's day when he forced my mother to peel them, some of them were very awkward to peel. She preferred bigger ones that didn't have that weren't really odd shapes because they were just difficult to peel. But in this day and age, it really doesn't make a difference. So I don't know why people are so snobby about it. It's a bit like all the people that we know that shop in Aldi, that when you catch them coming out of Aldi, baskets overflowing with food, say, oh, I only went in for a screwdriver. What are they like? I would never buy food here.
Is this what 36 days has done to us?
Yes.
This is a tech show, for goodness sake.
Oh, it doesn't look like... Mike's potentially had a meeting tonight, but he doesn't look like they're bothering.
No, I've just seen Stuart.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. They're not as savvy as we are with getting a show on the air, let's just say that. That stuff would be brilliant for soup, wouldn't it? Jonathan's right. Any kind of fruit or veg.
Yeah.
Would work quite nicely for that. But, you know, once you've sliced it, diced it, does it matter? It really doesn't matter. You could have lost 50% of what we ordered, and it's still been absolutely fine and a lot cheaper than what they consider to be the prime stuff. So there's some idiot somewhere buying particularly shaped vegetables. But never mind, what else is going on in the world? Apple done anything stupid today? No. Just annoyed me, obviously.
I'll tell you what is going on in the world.
Go on.
More cars on the road and more people out.
They're going to have us in lockdown again. What people have seen is that our vegetables are pretty... not bad, are they? What?
Vegetables.
Sorry, I'm not talking about vegetables. Our stats. I'm looking at this about vegetables and saying one thing. If I knew what I was talking about.
I'll tell you what, that lot out there are vegetables, yes.
You're quite right, yeah. Yeah, the stats are coming down. So the peak was supposed to be the 13th, but the peak, according to the stats I've seen, was the 5th. So the stats are coming down and the vegetables outside literally think that they can go outside.
That's
now, I actually posted something on Facebook. Did you see it?
Probably not.
I reposted it from somebody else and it said, the parachute slowed down our descent, so we'll take it off now. You've got to stay in. But I can tell there's far more cars outside. I keep saying with Jonathan, they're delivering for people who can't manage it for themselves. But I'm thinking now, no, they're just idiots and they're just off outside. Oh, Mike didn't have any mozzarella, did you?
No.
What were we putting that on?
Mozzarella.
Oh, the pasta.
Yeah.
The pasta, which I fancied today, but we had some salad.
No, not mozzarella.
What is it?
Parmesan goes on pasta.
Oh, parmesan, right. I don't know. Cheese.
Mozzarella goes on pizza.
We haven't got any pizza bases, gluten-free or otherwise.
No.
Most unfortunate, I say. Most unfortunate. Right, now, where's that page that I actually did have open at one point? Why have I got a million tabs here when the one I want I can't find? There's the one I want. Right. Oh, we had news, didn't we, Mike, to share?
Did we?
He's forgotten. I haven't forgotten. Dono's doing really well.
Oh, yeah.
Not only has he had some food, there's even talk, if he carries on like this, of, what did they call it? A release plan.
Yeah, discharge plan.
You see, you have to have a plan to be discharged now, but he's doing brilliantly. How's your cousin doing, Kim? Fishing on the canal. The last time I saw someone fishing on the canal, we've got this joke. You know when I go out shopping and it's all a complete calamity? A complete calamity. What's going on? What's this? Oh, I'm pleased, guys. Have I missed something, Mike? My chat's odd here.
I don't know.
Oh, no, I see. I get it now. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. When I go shopping, there's always a calamity. Well, there's our other friends, Stuart and Ellen. Whenever they're out, there's another weird calamity. So he walks up to Brooklyn Station, doesn't he, or gets the bus into work, one or the other. So this particular day, I was coming back from somewhere and all around Brooklyn Station, it was all cordoned off. I think it could have been the dentist I'd been to. And I'm thinking, what gives? You know, it was all down to one lane and I thought, I'm going to be late. I can't be late for the dentist. Anyway, I get back home, completely forgotten about it. Just thought, usual traffic. To find out somebody had been, and now what do they call it? Magnetic fishing, I think. And I thought, what's magnetic fishing? So I had to look that up for a start. And it's where they go fishing with magnets, you know, as the name implies. But I'm thinking, well, clearly they're not after catching fish then. What they'd actually caught, they have a magnet on the pole hanging off the string bit. It's all very technical, isn't it? I mean, you can tell I'm not a fisher person. And there they were dredging the canal. So, I mean, they find things like shopping baskets and stuff. But what did this one find? Only a hand grenade from World War II reels the thing in. So they had to close the whole area while they got the bomb squad out to it. So, Jonathan, maybe this one was magnetic fishing.
Anyway, I've got a conference call story.
Go on.
Well, it wasn't actually a conference call. It's just following on from what Jonathan said. This morning, I was talking to a customer at work. She messaged me on Skype, wanted some help with Nucleus, the famous Nucleus. So I'm sat there eating a bag of crisps on this call. And she says, what are you scoffing? First of all, we had the hi, how are you? She's bored of working from home, blah, blah, blah. So she said, what are you scoffing? I said, some crisps. I said, I was attempting to have a crap-free day, but it's not gone very well. So then as we're talking, I'm looking out the window and a van pulled up outside, what's her name, Jean and Glenn's. And it was a United Utilities water board van. I said, they're not turning the bloody water off. So I'm having a conversation with this woman whilst I'm trying to help with Nucleus. Anyway, the guy gets out of his van, takes a photo of their house, gets back in his van and drives off.
Do you think they're using too much water? This is what happens when you get one of these smart meters in. In fact, that's actually a very good point. Did you read about that?
No.
There was a post the other day, and I mentioned it to you, Mike, the electric consumption post. And it said, this was a genuine post on the BBC. See if you can find it, because I've lost the link. Genuine post on the BBC, and I read it. Quite a long post, you know. And basically, hello, Paul. Basically, it was since lockdown, electric consumption at home's gone up. And I turned around to Mike, I said, and in other news, bears defecating wooded areas. You know, I said, do they get paid for writing this rubbish? So in relation to that, where they got this data from and the what information they had extrapolated from this data, I thought, hang on a minute, what about GDPR? Now, I know it's anonymised data, but even so, what they were saying was...
Is it that one?
That's the one. Put that link in. What they were saying from it was, under normal circumstances, the peak for electric is 7 to 7.30, blah, blah, blah. And now it was 8.30. And they were making quite a lot of deductions, shall we say. And I'm just reading it completely incredulous, thinking people have smart meters put in. You know, and the next minute, I don't think they expect to be watched to that degree about what time they turn something on and what time they don't. And they're making all this stuff from it. CQ, Deb, CQ. You don't even think about it. It will have gone up. Yeah, I remember...
Think of what you're saving on petrol or train fares or however you get to work.
That's how you've got to look at it, isn't it? Would hours have changed? If you were at work... I'd still be sat in the same room at the same temperature. So maybe hours wouldn't change that much. It will change slightly because you keep going to wash the pots, which means hot water.
And I keep going to wash my hands, which means hot water.
Yeah, that's true. I can think the water consumption would go up. I was watching a video on YouTube today and a guy had done a video previously to the video that I was watching. And he'd been... Comments had been made because he was washing his hands and he left the tap running while he was washing his hands. And I thought, well, obviously I've not seen this video, but you can't wash your hands without the tap running. Or did I miss something?
Well, you can.
Can you? You mean you fill the bowl first?
Well, you could fill the bowl first or you could put the soap on, rub it in for your 20 seconds and then turn the tap on.
Crying out loud. Who's got time for this? It's scientific enough to start with. I'm going to have a look at that link. So, yeah, well, I said to Mike, you could probably claim for the internet as well. Claim £6 a week tax back on extra costs. The only problem with that, Jonathan, it says if your employer requires, in italics, you to work from home. We don't really want them discouraged from letting you work from home, do we?
No.
So we'll do that. We'll offset one against the petrol that we've not bought anything off. Petrol's the cheap.
Another point.
Petrol's the cheapest it's been in 4.5 years.
It is. Washing the towels as well.
Oh, we never stop washing the towels, do we? This is like when Mum was really ill.
Yeah.
We literally had carers coming to look after, and you have to provide the soap, the towels, the hot water, everything. So there was like 2 to 3 carers each visit. So maybe up to 12 people a day needing towels, us needing towels. So Mike just basically spent every spare minute washing towels. I don't know why we had enough.
Well, we've got more now.
So. We've got more, but what we like to do...
So I'm washing every 3 days instead of every two.
Although I did manage to get some sauce on mine, didn't I?
Right.
It'll come out at a 60-degree wash.
Well, I've got more towels to
didn't
wash.
I sound like I knew what a 60-degree wash was?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I've heard it on the TV now. Can you imagine all the complexities? So how much would that be worth? £62 a year or £124 a year for a 40% tax bill. I guess it's worth having. It's a cable from Apple, isn't it? You claim it back in tax, do your own tax return, your employer won't pay it and don't ask them. Good idea. Never done so much washing. The washing's chaotic because as soon as something comes, we had a lot of deliveries tomorrow, do you remember? I said everything that was coming Tuesday. Yeah, it's not. It arrived today.
Two things have come to me.
Yes, but one's got 4 items in and the other should be the pole.
Yeah, one is the pole.
So, but I still can't put the pole up till the other thing arrives that should have arrived on Saturday. But Royal Mail have got it, so it could be some time, never.
So one box, 4 items.
One box, 4 items. Yes. Yes. You should find that clip. Is it on YouTube?
Probably.
So these are DIY items. Do you know, this definitely calls for a vlog, I think, Mike.
Definitely what?
Calls for a vlog. In fact, I won't tell you things have got bad here, but I started looking at IKEA and then checking out if they were delivering, and they are. So we might have new furniture on the way. Haven't done it yet. Haven't done it yet. Was also thinking, Mike, we need 2 new chairs, don't we? They've gone up from £120 to £180.
Yeah, because this one keeps lowering itself.
Keeps squeaking as well. Just saying. There he goes. It's squeaking again. Yes, but we might as well.
What was it called? Was it Cracker?
It was Cracker with Robbie Coltrane. Try Cracker Robbie Coltrane shopping. Number of items. Ah, that's wise, Kim. Shower at the gym each day, but now you shower at home. Big difference. I wouldn't have thought of that, but yeah. Because
yeah,
that's 7
is.
Times a week, isn't it? There you go. What Mike's talking about, we have a thing over here in Britain. Don't know if you have it. Wherever you are, let me know if you have it. But we have this. Is it still there?
Yeah, 10 items all around.
Right. You have a one particular checkout or more. So 2-3 checkouts that are 10 items or less. Or one basket of items. So you can't take a huge trolley full to them. So they're fast track ones. Well, many years ago, there was a drama on UK TV called Cracker with Robbie Coltrane. Brilliant drama. It was a kind of...
It's 8 items.
Well, it was in there. It was 8 items or less. But there was this bit in it, and he's a psychologist working with the police. So, but it had great humour with it as well as drama. And there was this particular bit where you think of him as being the psychologist and the cool one and keeping his calm. He's in the supermarket and he's got some stuff in the basket and he's in this 8 items or less basket queue. And the woman behind challenges him over it and he starts screaming, doesn't he? I can't remember what it was. Was it yogurt?
Steak and kidney pies.
So say he's got like these steak and kidney pies and he starts saying, you know, 8 steak and kidney pies, 1 bastard item. So Mike's found the link for it. So we'll put it in the chat. We quote that to each other all the time when we're going around the supermarkets. So it's a bit like, at the minute, it's slightly changed. Now it's two...
He didn't actually say 1 bastard item.
Didn't he?
No, he said 3 steak and kidney bloody pies constitutes 1 bloody item.
I don't know, then maybe we heard the other one. But it was so funny. But now you made the point, didn't you? That it's, is it 3 for the price of 2 or something?
Yeah.
But you can't buy more than 3. Or what was it? A 2-for-1 offer,
yeah.
And you'd have to buy 4. So you have to buy them in even numbers and you can only buy them in 3s. Put the link in, Mike. That was fabulous, fabulous. We usually get our towels from Wilko's and we have a lot of white towels. And the idea is just hand towels that we do like one big wash with a lot of white towels. But these towels are going grey. They've been washed that much.
It's funny what you take for granted at work, isn't it? Like charging up your iPhones and your iPads and your battery packs.
I can honestly say not. No, you've all seen my iPad rack. My iPad rack sits next to 2 10-slot USB charging ports. And Friday is charging day. I let them run down. But on a Friday, I have a look at them, and if they're like 80%, I'll leave them. But Friday's the day when everything usually gets charged. And I remember putting on Facebook a while ago a photo of the charging rack and all the cables being plugged in, everything lighting up like Christmas, and saying, can somebody please let the National Grid know it's charging Friday and I'm about to go in.
And then you've got your free tea and coffee and your free water.
Yep. I guess the how much water we've used will go up and how many bottles of water we've bought will go up.
Yeah.
And then there'll be the oven and the microwave and the kettle. It will make a difference. We'll all have to do a comparison later on. Oh, you've ordered more towels from Amazon. That's a good idea. Maybe we could try them.
Yeah.
The shop that we buy them from does actually have them at the moment. They are open, but we don't particularly want to go out. So, yeah, Amazon's a good idea. I was looking for some other stuff on Amazon today. I'm trying to remember what it was now. But most of our stuff from Amazon's arrived. I'll have to see if they do white hand towels. Let's have a look. And are they the same price? And if they are, we'll just buy them from Amazon.
Good idea.
Steady on, Mike. Whoa, how much? 10 guest towels. No, they're 50% dearer. Really?
How much are they?
£15 for 10. Ours are usually £1 each.
£1
unless they've gone up as well. Oh, hang on. There's 12 for 14. That's not bad. They've even got paper ones, but I couldn't take those off the frontline workers. There's face cloths, if they're any good, Mike. But I think they're going to be a bit on the small side. Actually, this is possible. I'd never thought of looking on there, Kim. That's fabulous. They're face cloths. What are they? Gift towels. I think you could be onto something, Kim. How often do you sanitise all your kit? Virtually every day. I've been using my last full bottle of isopropyl alcohol. I do have some cleaning fluids as well. Normal, what I'd call computer or screen cleaning stuff that seems to work well on all of the kit. The kit's never been so pristine. It's scary. Then we haven't had anybody visit either. Somebody posted something on Facebook the other day. It was a big red sign and it said, you know, can you repost this? And it said that since lockdown, nobody had visited your house and you hadn't visited anybody else's house. So I immediately reposted it because, you know, obviously we haven't. Not a living soul. I think Kim's onto something here. This is potentially fabulous news, Kim. Todd's Linens 12-piece towel gift set. Let's have a look at how big these towels are. Because although they say bathroom, I'm beginning to wonder. No, they're not the right size. Oh, for crying out loud. Let's try that one. I think they're going to be very small as well. No, they're too small. Oh, I really thought you were onto something then, but because it's not your fault they're not the right size. I need to go back to Amazon and try again. I just want plain white towels. You wouldn't think it was rocket science, would you? And all I'm getting? Face cloths. A face cloth is a face cloth. It's not a towel. Somebody needs to explain this concept to Amazon. I've actually put in hand towel. White hand towel. And what's it giving me? Face cloths. I can get 2 hand towels for £9. Oh my. You're right, Jonathan. Towels are just so expensive. And I don't want a set where I've got like 2 humongous bath towels and then 2 that wouldn't cover a thumbnail. I just want the same size. So I can get a six pack of white for £17, Mike. Let's have a look at Wilko's. Are they delivering hand towels at the moment? Are yours a reasonable price, Kim? Are they a normal average price? Because clearly here, ours are not. The nearest I can get, I think, is that one, which is a 12-pack of standard towels for £14. Delivery's not bad. Delivery's Thursday. I'd go for that, Mike. How big are the ones we've got?
How much should we pay?
We paid £1.
I thought we did.
Go on, surprise me.
Well, that one's £4. Wilko Cotton White Hand Towel.
That's the one. Just to start, are you sure it's not for two? And do they charge delivery?
It's out of stock anyway.
Ah, no one can buy towels.
Pack quantity one.
See, look at Kim. 24 towels for $32. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I'd go for that.
Well, we've got something equivalent.
Nope, we haven't. There's 10 guest towels. Just measure
so,
that.
So the bath sheet was £7 and is now £5.25.
Nobody wants a bath sheet. We're going to measure the towel we've got. This is getting very scientific now with towels.
The science of the bin calendar.
The science of the towel collection.
50 centimetres near enough.
Probably 50 yeah. before it shrank.
50 by 70.
50
by 70.
Right, 50 by 70. I'm not going to be able to get one that's 50 by 70. They're all smaller. Maybe they pre-shrunk them. Did you ever think you'd see the day, Jonathan, where I am looking for towels? These ones are £14 for 12, which isn't bad, but they're 30 by 50. And the ones we've got are 50 by 70.
50 by 90, those ones. It's still a rip-off at £4.
It is for one towel. Do they not have a pack that you can buy?
Let's sort by price low to high.
Oh, he's in his element.
I always feel a cheapskate when I sort by price low to high.
I don't. I feel completely rational. Completely and utterly
okay,
rational.
So search for hand towels and look what comes up. Pencil toppers with hands on.
Dear me.
Sanitizer out of stock.
I nearly said something I may regret there. Oh, you carry on looking for the towels. I've managed to find 24 because now I'm following Kim. But all they are face cloths.
Yeah, there we go. Hand towel. 50 by 77.
That's the one.
£1.12.
Oh, that's not bad.
£1.50, but it's out of stock.
Great. Fabulous. No, I literally am being bombarded with face cloths. So if everybody could
We're currently able to offer delivery or order and collect.
Only we're out of stock, so you can't have any anyway. Fair enough.
Home delivery, they're still doing.
They are doing 10 guest towels, 30 centimetres by 50. That's as near as I can get. Or a pack of 12, again, 30 by 50. So apparently, since we bought these towels, all towels have now shrunk in size.
Ah, Kim's with me, sorted by price.
It should automatically be sorted by price. It would be...
I mean, I do sort by price, yeah. But I do feel doesn't? A cheapskate.
Schnorr Deluxe model. Well, do you know what I did today? Oh, you'd be proud of me, and this is tech-related. Mike came to me and said, have we got any more iTunes vouchers? Like, where am I going to conjure one up from? And sometimes they're on offer, aren't they?
Yeah.
But they're not.
Yeah.
Tesco's won't sell you one, despite the fact you can buy them in store. However, I have managed to source iTunes vouchers. There's no discount on them, but Curry's PC World will sell you iTunes vouchers. The reason that we would use an iTunes voucher rather than put a credit card on it is for the sheer reason we're not going to put a credit card on that account. We have one credit card on one account with Apple, and that is enough. And that credit card is not used anywhere else. So if that gets hacked, Apple are to blame. But I did find that Curry's PC World iTunes vouchers.
You bought some?
No, free delivery though.
I think I found one somewhere.
Ooh, I tell you what I found.
What?
When we last went out...
a £50 one.
How can you lose a £50 card?
Didn't.
Well, why don't you talk to the microphone instead of looking at me? Just a point. You know, audience.
I can't remember where it is. It'll be in one of these drawers.
See what I have to put up with? This is what it's like all the time.
Yeah.
Like me and the vegetable people.
Yeah.
No, the last time we went out, we went to Tesco. And as we walked past the end of the aisle, I don't know, is this the same as you guys have?
There you go.
At the end of an aisle?
No, looks like it's been used. Yes, it has.
If it's been used, it has been used. Well, there should be a tick on it if it's been used. At the end of the aisle, the entire aisle is covered with cards. Google cards, Netflix cards, you name it. They weren't on offer, so I didn't buy any Apple ones. But what I did buy, very fortuitous, and this must have been the first week in March. And I just put a Now TV voucher on the account. Now, the Now TV vouchers are £10 and you get 2 months. So it's £5 a month. But if you just put a credit card on the account and let it charge monthly, it's £8.99 a month. So you're saving 40%. No, you know, you're saving 80%, aren't you? Off that price. Saving a heck of a lot anyway. It's almost half the price. But obviously, you have to go out and buy these Now TV vouchers. So the last time we went out, as we walked past the end of the aisle, I grabbed one and threw it in and said, you never know when we'll be able to get out again. Oh, how right was I? And it's due for renewal on the 8th of May.
Wow.
So that'll take us through to July.
Hmm.
Very good idea of mine.
Anyway, it's Make Your Mind Up Day today.
Is it?
For what? Tomorrow.
What for?
For me.
Oh. Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jonathan, now's your moment. In you come. It's set up versus the dedicated Ulysses subscription.
My Ulysses expires tomorrow.
If you haven't cancelled it by then, I think you're knackered. Look at his face.
What do you mean if I haven't cancelled it? Well, it won't automatically renew.
Won't it?
No, because there's not enough crap. There's not enough... that's the whole point.
Right, okay.
There's not enough...
Well, you should have said sooner if you wanted
iTunes thingies.
This is pushing him towards setup.
So I got an email the other day that said, not enough money on your account. So I'll probably get set up anyway.
Hear that, Jonathan? Hear that? A potential convert. That's actually, it would be good value for you.
Yeah.
It would.
What is it, £10 a month?
No, isn't it cheaper if you take it for a year?
Yeah, you get 2 months free.
Yeah, I think it's £8.
Yeah.
Oh, Jonathan, look, he's happy. And Kim says they have that in the States too. I'm glad it's not just us. Normally I ignore it. I mean, there's so many of them. If it was just Apple, Google and Now TV with Netflix, but literally, how many cards must be on that row? There must be easy 20 by 20 square. Yeah. And there's magazines, Cosmopolitan, literally all sorts, isn't there?
Yeah.
I've never bought a Google one, I don't think. Google just seemed to give me money. Every now and then, there's no money on the account. And they'll say, we'll give you £5. I'm thinking, fine, because I don't buy many Android things.
The thing with setup is it reminds me of all those bundles we used to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd install all this software and never use it.
Yeah, but the thing with setup is it's more like an app store of its own.
Yeah, the thing with those bundles is, to be honest, you tended to buy them for one app and then you actually used it. What?
Laughing at Jonathan. He says, then we stand an even better chance of Elaine being on there before the end of the year. Ah, but you see, Jonathan, Mike doesn't own much of the software and I pretty much own all of it. We'll see how it goes. I must admit, I did contemplate it to this point. Right. I had an app called Downy. It's on setup, Jonathan. And I had version 1, 2, and 3. And it is a very, very good app. It does as the name implies. It downloads videos from YouTube or Vimeo or various other places. And it's very useful if I've, like the other night when I forgot to press record like that.
Well, put it this way, all those videos of my dad on YouTube.
Well, yeah.
They used Downy.
Yeah. So Downy's brilliant. Well, Downy 4 came out and I knew that Downy was part of setup. So as it asked me to upgrade, I thought, I'll just leave that because, you know, I might do the setup thing. And then I came across this video and I wanted to download it and Downy 3 had stopped working. And I thought, well, they're not going to update it. So obviously what happens is this guy updates, it's Charlie Munro software. He updates it sometimes twice a week. So the old version, version 3, I knew wouldn't get an update. And obviously if they'd tweaked it a little bit and it stopped working, then I needed the next version. And I thought, I've not got time to piddle around with setup now. So I checked the upgrade price. It was £7. So I just did the upgrade. But Mike will have the same problem because you won't have an up-to-date version of Downy now. Will you? Yours will be version 3.
Version 3.
Mm.
What's in version 4?
The fact it works, because version 3 stopped.
When?
Well, it wouldn't work on one video for me. So yeah. I thought, well, I'll give Downy 4, I'll download the trial. I did the trial, it worked fine. So I thought, might as well do the update.
It worked for me.
But you see, there's another one, you see. So when we do the cost-benefit analysis that you could turn into a demo for Friday, you could put the price of the apps down that you don't have and the upgrade price of the ones that you do. And then, do you see, and Jonathan would understand that and appreciate it. Oh, what's this? May have the gotcha. Is this Teams thing I was talking about? I just wanted 5 installs. That was it. That would sort me fine. I thought the Teams thing... Have a look. What's the Teams ones? What do you get for that? Every member of your team. Da, 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 da. Yeah, but how much and how many?
How do they define a team?
As many Macs as you need, from starter with enterprise, simple scaling, blah, 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 blah. Instead of buying the outside, you just give them setup. Right, fair enough. Where's the price? Starts at $8.99 per member plus VAT. Fair enough, but teams start at 4 members and we haven't got 4 members. They're forgetting. It's a bit like that thing we went for with 1Password. We went for 1Password for families. But with 1Password, it literally is. You can have as many installs as you like. They don't stop you with devices. You pay per person. If it was the same on here, it would be take my money. It's the little gotchas that they put on that annoy me.
Where does it say starts with 4 people?
Right down the bottom. In the small print, under the small print, just above Get Early Access. White bit. Up. There.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sometimes it says 10 members, doesn't it, on a business one? Yeah. And it doesn't, does it tell you how many computers each person can have it on? I'm not seeing that. They're just tempting me now by showing me.
Yeah, we said that because we said most people at work would only have one computer. Because when you look at it, it had a 2 against it, didn't it? The consumer version.
Yeah.
Well, no,
but then why would you take a business one, apart from centralised management, I suppose?
Business is different to teams, though, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
This is getting more complicated by the minute. You guys who have done this, this needs to be easier.
There's personal and there's business and there's teams.
What I actually want, well, let's discuss what would work for me. Allowing me to have the software on as many Macs as I want, or 5. That is what would work for me. If it was that simple, but every time I look at it, the personal one allows you 2. Now, I know you can deactivate and reactivate, but, you know, who wants to play around like that? On occasion, I've had to do that with Wirecast. It used to be activated on 2. Now I think it's 1. But it takes 15 minutes. Same with their other app, ScreenFlow. ScreenFlow... The activated version from them, so not the version from the App Store, can be activated on, again, I think it's just 1 now. And if you wanted it on another machine, you'd have to deactivate it, wait 15 minutes, reactivate it, and then do the other thing. It's ludicrous. It would be far better to license it to an individual person. Now, the family thing I thought might work. If it gave you 5... activations and you could decide the email address or the account holder, whatever it's called, and then just activate it, you know, all 5 activations for 1 person, that would work and I would have done that. Do they have an email address? Maybe just email. Yeah, I guess I could do, but you know, there surely must be people in my position who don't want to play around. One of the issues that put me right off, Jonathan, you'll appreciate this. The company that does this, the company behind it is, don't they have an app of their own?
MacPaw
Software. They definitely had an app of their own, and I think I had it, whatever it was. Let's have a look. It wasn't Clean My Mac, definitely not. What would it have been? What else have they got? No, not that one. Whatever it was, I think I had something of theirs. Now, it could have been Clean My Mac, I guess. Unless they had different software a while back. Let's have a look. Clean My Mac, Clean My Mac. This Gemini. Could have been the Unarchiver. The Unarchiver. Because it was free, that. And I was demonstrating it for people. But basically, they had my email address from something that I had. And they, when they very, very first launched Setup, and obviously at the time, it was a similar price, but it had a lot less than it has now. They sent me a mail. And it said something like, learn about Setup. It didn't say subscribe. It didn't say sign up. It said learn about Setup. So I clicked the link in the mail to have a look what it was all about. At which point they said, right, your trial started. And I thought, what? I hadn't downloaded anything. I hadn't agreed to anything. All I'd done was click this link that said, learn about Setup, learn what it is. Now, I never downloaded it. I never installed it. I never tried one single app. 7 days later, I get a mail that says, your trial's ended. And I thought, I didn't sign up for a trial. I clicked a link that said, tell me more. So after that, when they kept mailing me, I was put right off because I think that's a bit of sharp practice. Obviously, you have to get over it if it's far cheaper, etc. And I'd just like to maybe, I'd even pay. You know what I actually think would be about fair both ways, Mike? What we do with Spotify. I had Spotify for years on a $9.99 a month subscription. And then they brought in this family thing and you could have, is it up to five? Check, yeah. Spotify. Yeah. But it's a single price. You don't have to pay like £5 more per person. You take this family thing and you get a certain number of users. So I added my
six.
So you get six users for £15. Yeah. Now, obviously, there's only Mike and I using it, and you have to be at the same address. It would be even better value if you were like a couple with four children. But we took that for £15. And I said, well, you know, it's better than you having an account of your own because you'd be paying another £5 a month. I'd even pay $14.99 for five activations. Why are they not doing this? Surely there are other people in my situation. I mean, I consider at the minute I don't have that much spare capacity on computers. I've got five. I've got the one that I work at all day, every day. I've got a very old one in the bedroom that's running on an external hard drive. I've got one in the studio that, again, it's 2012. It's an old, very old. And I've got two laptops, so I've got five. Five would be enough. And I doubt I'd have activations for five on very many of the apps either. But I would just love the option to have that. Shall we write to them, Mike? Because, you know, like, we're in quarantine and got nothing else to do. Let's ping Setup, see what they've got to say for the little sorry selves. Right, we'll report back, Jonathan. Hello, Anthony. Hello, and hello, Paul. Good morning, Paul. We're having a rare old moan about software and towels and then the lack thereof. Kim, I still haven't found any towels. All I can find are 30 centimetres, which is 12 inches. 12 inches square face cloths. Do you reckon they'd be any good?
For drying dishes?
Well, no, for just drying your hands during this crisis. Because it would dry your hand, wouldn't it? Because it's that bad at the minute, you can't buy anything. Apart from a bath towel for £4, which I don't want to wash my dry my hands on.
Try the dog on.
Oh, she's adorable. She's been very, very good today. Very adorable. Oh, now, what other stuff did I have that had happened? Oh, Serif Affinity. I noticed that Erwin had purchased Serif Affinity for all his family. It was supposed to end today, their extended 90-day trials and their 50% discount. However, they've extended it for a month. So, in fact, a month today. So 90-day trials carrying on until the 20th of May and 50% discount across the board until the 20th of May as well. And that's both from them and from the App Store. So I did the deed last night. So now I have all their apps twice over. What else did we have? Oh, did you hear about that thing? Not tomorrow. I think it's a week tomorrow.
Which thing?
The minute silence.
Yeah.
So far next week, you know, we're getting out more than we got out before we were in lockdown. We're having the Clap for Carers on the Thursday, the 30th. We're going out early that night to sing Happy Birthday to Captain Tom. And on the Tuesday, I don't know who's behind this, but somebody's trying to ramp up going out for a minute's silence. But I'm not sure a minute's silence would work, are you? I think the fact people want to get out and proactively make a noise is a bit like clapping at a funeral. I've never quite got that.
A minute's applause.
But people do, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, at football, I understand it, because whenever you try and have a minute's silence, some imbecile does something. You know, the type that are bricking cars.
Yeah.
Talking of which, another one got bricked. You read that, didn't you? That paramedic.
I did.
Paramedic signed on for duty, came back to their car and found it bricked. Who are these people? Where are they getting the bricks from? Oh, and you know my bedpan situation. Not personally, obviously, but my answer to anybody who's an imbecile is put them on bedpan duty. I've got another candidate for Elaine's special bedpan duty roster. Bedpan duty for Branson. Richard Branson today has asked, well, he's been asking for weeks on end. It's just in the news again today. He needs a handout or his business will go bust. The fact he's got more money than God seems to be totally irrelevant. Why the government don't just show him the door, I don't know. If his business isn't viable, then his business isn't viable. He's the one who's the raving capitalist. So if your business isn't viable because, oh, we're in lockdown, you should have thought of that, shouldn't you? So do you think I'll get him on bedpan duty? Can't see it myself. I do think it would keep people on the straight and narrow, though. Possibly even more than going to prison. You've lost all respect for Richard Branson. I have too, Jonathan. I used to think, I mean, he'd write books and he was, you know, in the 80s, he was fantastic. And now you just think, really? You're putting people out of work and telling them to take holiday for 8 weeks? I mean, they can't do that. What is Branson's business? It's Virgin Atlantic Airlines, Kim. He started out selling records under a label called Virgin. And then he went from that, branched out into all kinds of things, particularly in the UK, trains. He had the West Coast Main Line franchise, which he now no longer has. And he went into airlines. But the other thing that he did was walk-in clinics. That, I don't think they exist anymore, do they? Just check, Mike. Yeah, there were walk-in clinics and they were basically meant to take the pressure off A&E or the ED. And he took money, lots and lots of money, believe me, out of the NHS to provide this service. I mean, obviously you need to be paid for providing the service, but not to the degree that he was. And I'm not sure if he didn't lose that contract as well.
I won't tell you what I get if I Google walk-in clinics Virgin.
Jonathan, no, don't go there. I thought he was one of the good guys, but clearly he's just an idiot. Tried to sue the NHS, then tried to sue the Department of Transport when he lost the train franchise. I think he's gone Bertie. It turned Bertie, we say in the UK. I lost the plot. So Cristiano Ronaldo's a COVID idiot as well. Seems to have had another big party with family and friends. Oh, for crying out loud. I don't get that. We've actually had an invitation today to a birthday party, middle of June. And we just looked at each other like, yeah, can't see that happening. And I said to Mike, you know, would it have hurt to wait 3 weeks while you're thinking about that? Instead of which, the invitation's gone out. Now you look silly if you say, oh, I'm still going to be on lockdown. And it, I don't know, it just that makes me feel icky as well. It's an icky moment that I don't like that.
There's a story here, going back to Richard Branson and money. Salford City, who are a small part-time football club in the UK, chose not to furlough staff because David Beckham co-owns the club. Yet Victoria has laid off or furloughed a load of her staff. 30 of her staff were furloughed from her fashion business. She could have afforded it to pay the salary.
Well, she could, but I guess her thing is, you know, She doesn't need to, and the government will pay them. No, you weren't wrong. Cristiano Ronaldo reunites with family despite coronavirus lockdown to celebrate his niece's 21st birthday. Watch the video. There's also a video of this. And some of them have even nearly got clothes on. Oh, seriously. Yeah, they're all in his house. He looks like a sumo wrestler with that hair. With what looks like some kind of weirdy food there. What's that? Is it pasta? No. Some sort of breaded thing? I think they could be cakes. Have you seen the state of his jeans? Wouldn't you think he could afford a pair without tears in? You see how old-fashioned I am? To be fair, in these pictures, there's about 5 or 6 of them. I guess they don't all... No, he left his villa that he'd been renting in part of Madeira and joined in the party for Alicia Aviero at his Ocean View apartment block. Oh, crying out loud. No, you were quite right. Another COVID idiot. We'll add him to the list. So you're still paying the staff for the Homeowners Association. It seems to me, if it's at all possible, it's the right thing to do. But I guess for some people. And your Homeowners Association, pretty strict, aren't they? I'm thinking of places that we have over here, usually for older people. Not really sheltered accommodation, but basically a huge block of flats. And each flat inside it, instead of it being like, it looks like when you go and visit them, it looks like a hotel. But the doors that you see with numbers on, instead of them looking like hotel room doors, they look like external doors with a letterbox on. And they're still paying their cleaners and gardeners and stuff like that, because obviously they live there and they can carry on working. I just think, like, you know, Victoria Beckham, if it's 2 months, she could afford it.
Exactly.
And why can't they carry on working from home if they're designing stuff? I mean, maybe not the stitching of it, but the designing could carry on. And so many of the football clubs now, the playing staff have taken a pay cut to try and keep the other people, the non-playing staff, unfurloughed. Mind you, the furloughing started today. If you needed to apply for your furloughing money, it started today, and they said they'd had 67,000 successful applications, or at least, you know, it didn't carp out on the website, in 30 minutes. So there's a lot of people needing to do that, clearly. Him paying for the hotel staff was a marketing ploy. It looks like it. I actually heard on that. I did see that in a couple of trusted sources, I would say. But then afterwards, somebody posted it about a week or 10 days later on their Facebook page. And it had a banner right across it that Facebook had put on it to say it was fake news. So now I don't know whether he did that or not. Maybe they could make PPE for the NHS. Exactly, Kim. There's lots of businesses doing that. Did I mention yesterday there was a local business in years and years gone by? And we discussed it, didn't we, with Kristen Scott Thomas and the Nun film thing, the TV programme that we now have to buy from you, even though it was made in Britain. That's classic, that.
Yeah, the one that was a bit dodgy.
Yeah, there are.
Research.
Oh, very dodgy. But yeah. Jonathan wouldn't be told, would he?
No.
Naughty Jonathan.
No,
We have lots of cotton mills that they're a lot smaller than they were. I've actually been out to Lancashire to train some of them. Do you remember when I went out and I was training CorelDRAW? Only when I got there,
Photoshop.
They realised it wasn't CorelDRAW they needed. They actually needed training in Corel Photo Paint, which, like, I'd seen once. Luckily, I knew Photoshop. So after 20 minutes, I said, well, do you know what? We'll bin this CorelDRAW training and we'll switch and we'll train that instead. So we did. But they're quite small. But they interviewed this guy and he said, you know, we've just switched production. And I don't know whether they made clothes before or did like upholstery fabric. But then they've now, the place is full of green and blue scrubs material. They were churning out 1,000 a day. And he said, I know that sounds a lot, and you know, for us it is a lot, but literally I'm getting people ringing up and asking me, can they order 30,000? He said, and that's a month's output. So absolutely, if she's in the fabric game, why not? I mean, she's been after a knighthood for him for years. 22 years that I know of.
True.
Hasn't she? Mm. Yes, we met, didn't we, Victoria, before she was married?
We did.
I think we actually met her the weekend she met him for the first time. She was perfectly pleasant, but for 22 years she's wanted to be Lady Victoria. So why not do that? I mean, she's probably seething by comparison to all the brown nosing she's done in 22 years. Captain Tom walks his garden for a few days and he's odds on for a knighthood. Thing is, Victoria, what you need to learn is he's not an imbecile. I'll just say that. I don't know if you're aware, but it was all looking pretty well for David's knighthood. He went to the royal wedding in 2011. He went to the royal wedding, Harry and Meghan. Oh, he's big in with the royals. Until somebody hacked his email and read that he'd said, "What more do I have to do to get a knighthood?" Not the thing to say if you're after a knighthood, David. Just saying. So, hence the knighthood. Definitely on ice. Right now, definitely on ice. Let me catch up over here. That is so cool. The entire garment district in New York's making PPE. We've actually got over here, in terms of PPE, there are companies like we've talked about that are doing it. But there's also individuals that the guy that lives near us, I think, has deployed 2,000. Now, he's not doing gowns. His speciality is face masks. So the visor type ones. And he's using a 3D printer and equipment that people are buying for him via the Amazon wishlist thing. And there was another one, which was a young girl. She couldn't have been more than 8. And she was sat there with a face close to this thing. And you couldn't tell what it was at the time. The BBC had her father do the videoing and then they VO'd it. And the family had a 3D printer. And they downloaded the patterns from the web to make headbands for visors. So the plastic piece at the front. Then they got some plastic sheeting. And she is sat there, as well as doing her schoolwork. You know, when this thing has finished, and it takes quite a while to do one. She's putting the holes in the top and assembling them. And then they're being shipped off. I think one was shipped off to the main London hospitals. So there's Guy's, St Thomas's. There's about at least 8 to 10 different ones within London. And one of the head nurses did a video. He was stood there wearing this thing. And he did a video and said thank you to her for it. And then the BBC folk got this video back to her. So even kids like that are doing it. So there's no excuse. If you've got that kind of money, that kind of setup already, why not do it? Better than doing nothing. And UPS are delivering free. That's amazing. I'm hoping IKEA might deliver something, but I've not decided what yet. Apart from a new chair for Squeaky Boy. It's giving me the evil eye again. And there's a guy in Seattle doing the same. This is it. There's so many, I say small people, but, you know, individuals who are doing such amazing work. They're getting very little in the way of recognition. They're sourcing all of the materials themselves. And they even have to get the kit in to the hospitals themselves. Apparently, a lot of people have contacted the government offering small amounts, fair enough, and are just hitting a brick wall. The government don't want to know. I'm assuming it's just too small for them. We've got a consignment of gowns supposed to be coming in. Because this one blew my mind. Coming in from Turkey. Should have arrived yesterday. It's 500,000 gowns. These are the long-sleeved gowns. And they didn't arrive. There was also, I think it was 140,000 gowns arrived from Myanmar this afternoon. And I'm thinking, have you seen the size of Myanmar? How can they supply us? And we're expecting some from China. Thing is, early March, we sent out a huge consignment to China with no guarantee of, well, when we need help, can you help us? But luckily, the things come in. So Tracy's making masks. Oh, a volunteer programme. That's cool. I saw somebody do a video of a mask, Tracy. It wasn't a sewn one. It was one that you just did by hand. You just folded this fabric up and then you fed the ends of it through two hair ties, folded it back on itself, and then you used the hair ties to attach it to your ears. And I was thinking, isn't it lucky, Mike, I've got long hair and a bag full of hair ties? Because even the ones that I would tend to throw them away when the elastic's gone a bit loose. But even those would work for masks. So despite the COVID idiots, there are far more people doing amazing things. There are, Anthony, you're quite right. It's a shame the COVID idiots get the press, but I think some of them do need to be publicly shamed because the stuff they're doing is just idiotic. There was one on the BBC, I think it was either Italy or Spain. So they were talking about Spain, so it could well have been Spain. And they were saying that people were going out more. And this guy was on a sun lounger thing in the middle of a completely empty beach. Now, I suppose he was thinking he wasn't doing any harm. But the thing is, you know, people see him out there and think, well, if he's out there, why can't I go out there? And it sets a bad example. So, yeah, I like the feel-good stories. I do. Wow, 100,000 masks. That's amazing. I was wondering, when you hear of like 500,000 coming in, you think, oh, that'll keep them going for a while. But not when you hear a figure that they're going through 150,000 a day. And then you think, oh dear, 150,000 is like 3 days supply and some over. And a lot of the issues with these is that they are disposable. But knowing that they were having issues, what they've taken to doing is putting the N95 masks with the carbon filters on in envelopes for 5 days. The logic being any virus on them would dry out and die in 5 days. And then they're taking them out and like giving them a dusting off and then using them again. I mean, it's not ideal, is it? It's absolutely not ideal. Although maybe the peak has passed, who knows? We are bang on with Italy in terms of deaths. Every day they do a press conference and they put 4 slides up. And every day, obviously, you get an extra day on these things. And the usage of cars had gone up, hadn't it, drastically, but it's dropped again. Mm-hmm. There was an uptick in deaths in Manchester. But again, I think that's kind of gone down again today. But when you look at it, the peak was the 5th. So it usually goes down Monday and Tuesday because the deaths don't get registered over the weekend because the offices are shut. So I think it's going to be Wednesday before we're sure if it's actually still heading that way. But apparently they're talking about rolling Boris out again. Parliament starts again tomorrow on Zoom. That should be hysterical because we have had a touch of the can you hear me mothers on there, haven't we? They're asking questions and they're breaking up or they're on mute and you're trying to read lips. So the thought of the politicians all on there should be hysterical. I want to see, Jonathan will appreciate this, I want to see Jacob Rees-Mogg on Zoom in his top hat. That would make my week. Absolutely make my week. So the ones you've got are cotton, T-shirt cotton, needs no elastic, double thickness, hole cut each side and then twist it. Oh, that's a good idea. That is a very good idea. They've told us you can use like scarves tied at the back. I've not actually seen anybody try that yet. Oh, that's shocking, Kim, isn't it? Gives anaesthesia on Friday and then puts the mask in a paper bag to reuse it. Oh, my word. Oh, yes, Jonathan, you're quite right. PMQs via Zoom. This is going to be brilliant. Checkers, yes, I've never actually they've not done a virtual tour of that place, have they? I remember it when Margaret Thatcher used to use it in the 80s, but I don't think we've ever like seen more than a handful of photos from the inside. So it's not actually his mansion, is it? It's the Prime Minister's mansion, but it's where he is. Oh, got to go to the doctors. I definitely wouldn't. In fact, we
heard that Dominic Raab had gone to see him there.
Oh, brilliant. Hey, just carry on, eh? Crying out loud. We're being told by the doctors in A&E, the normal wait time at A&E is between 8 to 12 hours. But, you know, when you go there and you do need to be seen, the people that you see in there are like, I've got a paper cut. Oh, I've got a splinter. and you're thinking, you don't actually need to be here. If you're not dying, you don't need to be here. Well, one of the nurses in A&E took a photo of the wait time, and it was 6 minutes. It's not been 6 minutes since Nye Bevan was in charge, has it? So Nye Bevan, if you're wondering, is the politician who is credited with creating the NHS. So they put out messages saying, you know, if you are ill, you do need to come to A&E if you've had a stroke or a heart attack. And I'm thinking, do you know what? Just leave people be. If they are ill enough, they will go. But this is how it should be. The capacity of the NHS is probably stretched to double most of the time. If the only people who went were the ones who were ill, you'd get seen. Somebody was in and out in 20 minutes. It was amazing. But that's how it should be. But it never is. Yes, I'm going to look forward to the Zoom room. If we can find a video footage of that, we would definitely put it in here. Absolutely. Now, Deb, you keep safe if you've got to go visiting. Masks, full gear. Full gear. Well, we would apparently, I assumed wrongly, that if you went to A&E and it was not an emergency, that they would just kick your backside out. No, they're not allowed to. They have to treat you. I did not know that. So these people that go with a sprained ankle, when Mike went in, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning and he was screaming in pain. I mean, I've seen him in pain with that twice and it is painful. This one was sat there with a twisted ankle. I thought, well, when did that happen? You know, 2:30 in the morning, were you not in bed? Why have you just come in with a twisted ankle at that time? And again, because there is actually something there, you know, they need to be seen. Me, I'd kick them out. But that's just me. You know what I'm like? Bedpan duty. Tell you what, we'd have the cleanest bedpans ever. They'd basically whip it away before you'd finish with it if I was in charge.
Kim said people are having heart attacks and afraid to go to hospital.
Yep.
My boss on Friday, my boss sent us all an email and said he was going offline, had a family emergency. Turned out that his mum had high blood pressure. So I pinged him this morning and asked him how his mum was. And he said she'd had high blood pressure all over the weekend, but she didn't want to go to hospital because she was afraid of coronavirus.
I can understand that.
I said, I totally understand that. She was having a GP's appointment via telephone this morning.
If you can possibly get away with it. Because, you know, if you've already had a heart attack and then you're that afraid to go in.
Yeah.
Like me, I don't thrive in hospital, do I?
No.
I don't get better if I ever have to go to hospital, I can assure you. I just get a million times worse. I need to come home. Oh, I was in hospital when I was 21. And it was one of these things. Every morning, everybody had a little slot to go and have a bath. The thing was, this was on a ward. This was back in the day when there was about 20 to 28 beds on a ward. And you went up to the communal bathroom at the appointed hour for your slot. There was no lock on the inside. The only lock was on the outside. So they could lock you in, but you couldn't actually lock other people out. And the bathroom was, it was a tiny little corridor at the beginning of all the wards, and all the doctor's suites and all of that are off that, and then it opens out into a ward. So you couldn't actually lock the door. So, yeah, that wasn't going to work for me. The other thing was, and this was 1989. Oh, yeah, you were born, Jonathan. I hope the maternity ward was better than the one I was in. As you went in, and the bath's in front of you, and you were supposed to turn the tap on and fill the bath, it was full of cockroaches. So I only ever had a shower in there, but then I got an infection, unsurprisingly. But they said, oh, yes, you're bound to get an infection. You were in bed 13. Everybody who gets in bed 13 has an infection. I thought, what'd you put me in there for then? But I digress. And this infection was not healing up. So I said that, so hence they wouldn't take any stitches out either. So I said to Mum, I'm done. You remember I told you I was done? And I discharged myself. That was why. That was the kind of stuff that you were having to deal with at the time. I got home on the Saturday night about 10:30. I got up again at 3 a.m. and drove down to London with my dad. Well, my dad did the driving for a revision course. I did a full day's revision course. The hospital wouldn't give me any antibiotics that I'd already been on. So I had like 24 to 36 hours worth, where I should have been on antibiotics and I wasn't. Got to my GP on the Monday, explained the situation. So she said, "My, you're looking well." I said, "Oh, thank you." She said, "Well, what can I do for you?" I said, "I just discharged myself from hospital." "Oh my God," she said. So I said, "And I've still got the stitches. So can I see somebody about them?" She said, you know, like she said, "You're looking amazingly well." And she said, "Well, you know," once she got the letter from them saying how I shouldn't have done it and how I was on death's door, she said, "Rubbish, you look fine to me." That was, even though I'd had no sleep for 2 days and no antibiotics that I should have had, the relief of leaving the hospital, I felt like I was walking on air, I'll tell you. So I can understand blind terror in terms of going into hospital. Right, let me catch up. Good night, Jonathan. Totally agree with you, Paul. I think if I go outside the door, I'll catch it. It is like, you know, it's just, it's logic. And if you go into a hospital, virtually guaranteed. Surely, virtually guaranteed. And of course, you may get it and you may have no symptoms. You may not even notice. But on the other hand, you know, you could be one of the ones that takes really bad. You have no idea and they have no idea. I mean, with some people, it's obvious they've got underlying conditions, but with others, it's not. When it's like a fit 25-year-old, that child who died and he was 13, no underlying conditions. So, yeah, not moving from the house at the moment at all. Got away with missing last month. It'll not let me miss again. Can't get my blood thinner without a visit. That's so awkward, Deb. I mean, why they can't let you do a test at home, I don't know. I remember my mum deciding that we were going to do a blood test and she bought this kit. She read up on this kit and said, right, well, all we've got to do, and it was like a sort of pin thing inside a plastic thing, pin thing in a plastic thing. You put this white piece of plastic against your finger and then you pushed at the top and a pin sprang out and took a blood sample. The only thing that she got wrong was instead of doing it on the side of your finger, she did it on like the pad of your finger. You're not supposed to do it there. I had a bruise for 3 weeks. But once we did it again on the side, it was absolutely fine. So it's a shame they won't let you do your own. There was only one there and everyone was wearing a mask. Hopefully there won't be. I mean, they could surely halve the number of people if they let you miss one appointment and then spread you out. But I would be as worried as you. So positive thoughts and prayers for Deb. They'll be suited and gloved and you'll have a mask. No, I wouldn't go in the waiting room either. That's the thing. If you've not been out since the 15th of February, you're fairly safe and you definitely don't want to go out. I completely understand. We will definitely be in our thoughts, Deb. We shall look forward to hearing that you are home and safe and sound. Maybe could you like the nurses and wear bin bags? Looked into it, but it was expensive. Oh, it really shouldn't be. They should provide it for you. I mean, it's in their best interest. What does it cost to treat somebody who gets this and takes it really bad? So, how silly. How silly. Can't come up with any alternatives for that. I don't suppose they'd take it if you bought one yourself, would it? They wouldn't take the result. My grandmother used to have to go in. She was on blood thinners, warfarin, and she had to go in every 4 weeks and she didn't like it either. And they were always fiddling around with the dosage. Apparently it depends on the food you eat. Garlic's a blood thinner, isn't it? And if you eat a lot of garlic or take garlic, they have to adjust. The warfarin was what they said to her. Not that she ever ate garlic, but she would eat stuff she wasn't supposed to, would my gran. Do you remember when she said, "Why is everybody buying me diabetic chocolate?" And we said, "'Cause you're diabetic." She'd walk round and say, "I can't have carrots, me. They're too sweet. I'm diabetic, you know." So everybody bought a diabetic chocolate and she wanted fruit and nut because that was her favourite. There's the logic of my grandmother for you. Can't say fairer than that, can we? Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm off to write a letter to set up and put them right on their policies, apparently.
It looks like you're writing a letter.
Oh, clippy. I've also moved some stuff. This is either a very good thing or a very bad thing. It's either a good thing that the place is tidier or a bad thing. I'll never find anything again. So I'll just discuss that with Mike in terms of what I've moved and what's happening. And we will be back with you tomorrow. So it's warfarin. Yes, same as my gram. But it's very stable. In that case, you know, if it's stable, in this circumstance. I'd leave you with it. You see how logical I am. We need to sweet talk them on your behalf, Deb. But positive vibes with you, absolutely. Get all suited up. It's a shame Mike couldn't get his stormtrooper outfit to you. That would show them how serious you were.
Oh, Richard Branson has pledged his luxury island resort as collateral to help get a UK government bailout.
I know what I'd do with his...
What would they do with an island?
Don't tempt me. Richard Branson could throttle the living doodah out of him, but well, I digress. Anyway, off. Kim, good night. Off to pick up packages. We're going off to, think I might look at dessert.
Food.
Yeah, I think I might look at some dessert, shall we say. So, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Tomorrow. One thing to do, stay safe, guys.